From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. Welcome you to this broadcast of Let the Bible Speak. On today's program, we continue a series of studies in the Law of God, messages preached by Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, and founder of Let the Bible Speak. We'll hear from Dr. Cairns in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this devotional thought taken from Charles Haddon Spurgeon's collection called Morning by Morning.
This morning's text comes from 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 8. He arose and did eat and drink, and went in the strength of that meat 40 days and 40 nights. All the strength supplied to us by our gracious God is meant for service, not for wantonness or boasting. When the prophet Elijah found the cake baked on the coals and the cruse of water placed at his head as he lay under the juniper tree, he was no gentleman to be gratified with dainty fare that he might stretch himself at his ease. Far otherwise, he was commissioned to go 40 days and 40 nights in the strength of it, journeying towards Horeb, the Mount of God. When the Master invited the disciples to come and dine with him, after the feast was concluded, he said to Peter, "Feed my sheep," further adding, "Follow me." Even thus it is with us. We eat the bread of heaven, that we may expend our strength in the Master's service. We come to the Passover and eat of the Paschal Lamb, with loins girt and staff in hand, so as to start off at once when we have satisfied our hunger. Some Christians are for living on Christ, but are not so anxious to live for Christ. Earth should be a preparation for heaven, and heaven is the place where saints feast most and work most. They sit down at the table of our Lord, and they serve Him day and night in His temple. They eat of heavenly food and render perfect service. Believer, in the strength you daily gain from Christ, labor for Him. Some of us have yet to learn much concerning the design of our Lord in giving us His grace. We are not to retain the precious grains of truth, as the Egyptian mummy held the wheat for ages, without giving it an opportunity to grow. We must sow it and water it. Why does the Lord send down the rain upon the thirsty earth and give the genial sunshine? Is it not that these may all help the fruits of the earth to yield food for man? Even so, the Lord feeds and refreshes our souls, that we may afterwards use our renewed strength in the promotion of His glory.
Come, bless the Lord, praise His name, tell of His mercy. Come, bless the Lord, trust in His love, live in His word. Come, bless the Lord, Creator of earth and Maker of heaven. Come and lift up your heart, servants of light, come bless the Lord. Lift up your hearts and worship Him. His matchless grace is ever the same. Sing of His treasure, sing of His love, praise His holy name. Come, bless the Lord, praise His name, tell of His mercy. Come,
bless the Lord, trust in His love, live in His word. God bless the Lord, creator of earth and maker of heaven. Come and lift up your hearts, servants of light, come bless the Lord. Your hands in thankfulness, His loving mercies never cease. Lift up your hearts in gratitude, sing of His perfect peace. Come, bless the Lord, praise His name, tell of His mercy. Come, bless the Lord, trust in His love, live in His word. Servants of light, come bless the Lord forever. Come bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord. Lift up your hearts. Come bless the Lord. Come bless the Lord.
In this day of many uncertainties, the political unrest, widespread violence, and moral confusion, people are asking, what is it all about? What does life mean, or does it have any meaning? Thankfully, there is one place where despairing men, women, and young people can find the answers to those questions: the Holy Bible, God's inspired, inerrant word. The Apostle Paul, speaking of the gospel, wrote, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed." He was referring to the righteousness that God gives to sinners on the basis of Christ's death on the cross. A medical doctor who found life's answer in Christ has written a brief summary of the central teaching of the Bible in a booklet called The Meaning of Life and the Love of God. In a few clearly written pages, he explains how sinners can find forgiveness and redemption in God's blessed Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. For a free copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, simply email info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you wish, you may call us at 864-244-2408. That's 864-244-2408. If you prefer regular mail, simply write, "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's "Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Just ask for your copy of The Meaning of Life and the Love of God, and we'll be happy to provide it. As he continues these studies in the law of God, Dr. Cairns begins to deal with the foundation of the Ten Commandments. Although many reasons can be given for obeying God's law as expressed in the Ten Commandments, verse 2 of Exodus 20 gives the overriding incentive. In giving the commandments to Moses, God said, "I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Purely and simply, men are to obey God's law because of who he is, the God of all flesh, to whom belongs all power and majesty. Now here is Dr. Cairns to introduce this message, The Foundation of the Ten Commandments.
There are very many good reasons for us to obey the law of God. The commandments themselves suggest that there is great personal benefit in obeying and observing them. And they also bear very eloquent testimony that there's a peculiar blessing for the family in observing God's commandments. At least 5, possibly even 6 of the 10 commandments carry a reference to the family, from which we can only conclude that family welfare is a major object of the Lord in giving us his law. So it would be quite scriptural for us to say that we should obey the law of God because of the benefit that obeying the law will bring to us and to our families, and through those families to society in general. That would be quite scriptural. Paul said, "The law was ordained unto life." That's why God gave it. He ordained it unto life. The Lord Jesus said, "Keep the commandments." He said, in reference to keeping the commandments, "Do this, and thou shalt live." Now let's stop there for a moment. We must not make the mistake that all too many preachers and all too many commentators make when they come to that statement of the Lord Jesus Christ. "Do this and thou shalt live." Too many people spend a great deal of effort and they put in a great deal of ingenuity in denying what those words palpably teach. They try to make them mean anything but what the obvious meaning is. Do this and thou shalt live. Because it sounds very much like works religion and works righteousness. But a moment's consideration should surely make us realize that the Son of God could not make any mistakes. And there's no possibility under the sun of you or me correcting the Lord Jesus Christ. So we mustn't make the mistake of denying the plain meaning of such words. The Word of God states 2 things in this regard. Clearly in these words of the Lord Jesus, the law teaches a man how to obtain righteousness by works. But then equally, we are taught that no man can be justified, that is, can obtain righteousness by works. Is that a contradiction? John Calvin long ago pointed out, and I quote him, "These 2 statements are perfectly consistent with each other, because the fault lies not in the doctrine of the law, but in man." We would do well to keep that in our minds. The law was ordained to life. And there is a blessing, therefore, in the observance of the law of God. There is a blessing for the individual. There is a blessing for the family. and much beyond that even to the nation. Once you're justified through grace and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ without your own works, obedience to the law of God will strengthen and it will support that new life within you, and it will enable you to enjoy the peculiar holiness of believers in the Savior. However, having said all that, that there are good reasons like these for obeying the law of God, freely admitting them, we must recognize that there are much more fundamental reasons why we ought to obey God's law. And in verse 2, which we'll take as our text for this evening, we have those reasons clearly set out. Here is the preamble to the Ten Commandments. As God spake all these words, remember what I pointed out many, many weeks ago as we started to study the law of God? God not only wrote the Ten Commandments with His finger into tables of stone, but God spoke them audibly in the ears not only of Moses, but of all Israel, from that mighty, fiery Mount of Sinai. God spake all these words. And He started the Ten Commandments with this preamble: I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Here there are three stated grounds for our obedience. First, I am the Lord. That statement extends the law to all men. I am the Lord, therefore all men everywhere ought to hear. But then He says, I am the Lord thy God. And that especially touches those who profess to acknowledge Jehovah as their God. They have entered, at least outwardly, into the bonds of God's covenant. And then finally, He says, I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And surely that touches particularly the redeemed of the Lord. So here are three stated grounds. I am the Lord. I am the Lord thy God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. And from this little text, therefore, we may grasp a great truth and a great doctrine. That's, I can put it very simply, that the Lord's person and the Lord's relationship with us establish first His authority, and second, our obligation. His authority to command and our obligation to obey. His person and His relationship with us establish His authority to command us and our obligation to obey Him. In other words, what we have in this text is the real foundation of the Ten Commandments. Now I want to take the text as simply as I possibly can. Let me note first that God commands us. The Ten Commandments are just that. Commandments. God does not here advise us. Here He does not cajole or coax us. Here He does not give His opinion. Can I say in passing, God does not have opinions. God reveals eternal truth to which we ought to conform our opinions. Here He does not give us an opinion. He does not set forth His law as an option. Here He gives us the commandments. The law of God is imperative. That is, it carries ultimate authority. The law of God is directive. That is, it comes as a royal decree from the throne of glory. The law of God is regulative. That means it sets our standards for us. And the Lord's law is what the old theologians like to call vindicative. In other words, it carries a sentence with it. You do not ignore, neglect, reject, or disobey God's law without incurring the sentence of the lawgiver. These ideas are not merely mine. You'll find that in Genesis chapter 26, there is a reference to Abraham. And God says this in verse 5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. Notice the piling up of terms. E.W. Bullinger was a great Church of England scholar. He was also a highly dispensationalist theoretician. That's a big word. I didn't say theologian, because dispensationalism is not theology, it's theory. But I'm not getting into that. That's just a barb by the side. But E.W. Bullinger made a lovely statement in this. Notice, Abraham obeyed my voice. God has sounded his voice to be heard and to believe, to be believed. What is the law of God? It is God's voice that you should hear and you should believe. What is God's law? It is his charge to be observed. His law carries his commandments to be obeyed. His statutes or his decrees to be acknowledged. And his laws or his instructions to be followed. The Lord commands us. The second thing I'll note from the text is that God has the perfect right to command us. He says, I am the Lord. Now let me try to put this very simply. This is as if someone had challenged the Lord. You are commanding. By what right do you command? And his answer is, I am the Lord, thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That is all God says to establish his right to command. This is his authority. It is not assumed, it is not usurped. It is not merely the authority of superior might or power. This is natural and essential. It belongs to the very nature of God. In other words, what he's saying is, when you understand who I am and what I am, then you will see that that establishes my authority. This is something the Lord never tired of underlining in his word. When you have opportunity, read from Leviticus 18 through to chapter 26, and you'll find that the Lord there speaks of many particular commands in many particular areas. He was giving these directives to the children of Israel. And if my memory's right, I did this computation in another Bible, so I'm speaking now from memory, but if my memory's right, when the Lord says, thou shalt or thou shalt not, and he gives a commandment, 47 separate times he adds, I am the Lord, or I am the Lord your God, or I am the Lord their God. But that kind of statement is made almost 50 times, compressed into those few brief chapters, when the Lord is expounding His Word and He's giving His directions. He's saying, remember, I am the Lord. That's what establishes God's authority to command us.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us at 1-864-244-2408. That's 1-864-244-2408. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there's a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. This is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we Let the Bible Speak.